بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Since today is the memory of martyrdom of Imam Al-Hasan عليه السلام, I thought it is better to discuss something about life history of Imam Hasan alayhi salam, especially importance of his peace treaty with Muawiyah to save Islam and to prepare the ground for the revolution of Imam Hasan alayhi salam. Imam Hasan alayhi salam was born in Medina in the second year of Hijrah, and his birthday was on 15th of Ramadan month, and he lived a few years with his grandfather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and after that he felt the suffering of his father and mother at the time of the first three caliphs, the events of Saqifa and injustice done to Ahlul Bayt, and especially to Imam Ali alayhi salam and Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. Naturally he was aware of all the problems, he and his brother Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is mentioned in the history that he came to Abu Bakr and told him that, come down from the pulpit, this is not your place, it is a place of my father. It is mentioned in the history that Imam Hasan alayhi salam was, as is expected from all the Imams, was very brave, and that at the time of the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, he showed his bravery. Even before that, at time of when the Muslim army came to Iran, Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam were with the army to support the army, not to be under the leadership of the leader of the army, because the Imams, they are the leader whenever they are, they can't be under leadership of somebody else, but they came as a psychological support for the Muslim army, and their presence was very important to open Iran for Islam. But not much is mentioned in that period, let us say in 25 years at times of the three caliphs. What is more mentioned when starting of Khilafat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then the wars started. Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to fight, especially in Siffin, but Imam Ali alayhi salam prevented them, and that was important because, as he, Imam Ali alayhi salam, explained, that they are the sons of the Prophet, and because they were brave, they will fight and may be killed, and if they are killed, then the descendants of the Prophet will be finished. And it is mentioned in the history that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, the brother of Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from another mother, people asked him, just to raise his jealousy, that why your father Imam Ali put you in war and you might be killed or injured, while he preserved Hasan and Hussein, so he liked them more than you. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya replied that Hasan and Hussein are like his two eyes and I am like his hand, so he defends his eyes with his hands. So that is very, very beautiful reply. And in another question, maybe that argument were there, because so many hypocrite people, and they want to do, they think they can divide the brothers from each other. When they asked him, he said, because they are the sons of the Prophet, and I, Muhammad ibn Hanifi, I am his son. So he asked me, and is not asking sons of the Prophet. He wants to tell them that they differ from me. They are sons of the Prophet, Fatima al-Zahra, salamun alayha, and they have relation with the Prophet, so they have to be preserved. I am son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but my wife is not Fatima al-Zahra, so he can spare me to fight, and I am like any other Muslim among the Muslims. So the history mentions all these points. Then after martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Kufa, Imam Hassan alayhi salam become the imam, the apparent imam to lead the people. And the situation of the Muslim Ummah were so bad that the people were not prepared really to fight. That was bad even at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he has sermons in Nahj al-Balagha, complaining from the people that if I ask you to fight in the winter season, you will say that wait for us because it is too cold till summer will come. And when I ask you to fight in summer, you say it is too hot, wait for the winter. So if you are running from heat and cold, naturally you are more coward to run from the sword and fighting with your enemies. Situation of the people were very bad, their intention were not sincere, and their will to defend the truth were not complete. And that has reasons also, because maybe somebody asked that, why the army of Muawiyah is united, for example, and army of Imam Ali is divided. You see, the reason, Muawiyah spent all the money to them, Bayt al-Mal. He promised the leaders of the army to give them a lot of money, and he buy their faithfulness to him. Imam Ali alayhi salam will not do that, will not misuse the money of Bayt al-Mal, money of the Islamic government, to distribute it among this and that and let them be with him. So the heads of the tribes, they are equal with any ordinary Muslim. A head who has 20,000 members in his tribe, he and any individual are equal. So that equality was the aim of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to show it, the equality which is in Islam among all the human beings has to be shown practically. So when Imam Ali do that, naturally they will not be happy. They said, how? We are like that. We are equal. One day Imam Ali alayhi salam, somebody was from one of the tribes. He did something wrong, and Imam said, okay, took him to jail. While the police was taking him to jail, head of the tribe came with his people, because that was member of the tribe, and released him. They brought the news to Imam Ali that this is what happened. He said, go and bring that head of the tribe with the criminal person and put both of them in jail. Well, and he asked him, why you did that? He was angry. He said, oh, Ya Ali, if we leave you, we become kafir. If we are with you, then we'll face humiliation. What to do? We cannot leave you, otherwise we lose our hereafter. And if we are with you, you treat us like that. Of course, that was justice. That was equality. He think it is a humiliation. Well, there is no humiliation. If somebody did wrong, whether it is from your tribe or from another tribe, has to face whatever is his punishment. It can't be that because he is from this tribe, he can do whatever mistakes, whatever wrong, whatever sins, whatever theft or wrongdoing, it is allowed for him. And if somebody is poor and no tribe and no head, then okay, you can put him in jail or do whatever you want. That is not justice. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has to prove that justice. While distributing money of Baytul Mal, one lady came, they called Mawali. Mawali means non-Arabs who accepted Islam and they become a Muslim, but they were non-Arab. Naturally, Arabs that have nationalistic feelings, they say, we are Arabs, we are superior, those are non-Arabs, they are inferior. So one of the ladies from non-Arabs, she came and he gave her whatever her share, 2 dirham or 4 dirham, whatever is her share of Baytul Mal. And another lady came with her. She was from a known Arabic tribe and she was proud of herself. And Imam alayhi salam gave her the same thing. She argued, how come you compare me with that? We are Arabs, we are from this tribe, we are superior, and she is not, she is inferior. And you give us, both of us, equal? Then Imam alayhi salam, what to reply here? He took sand from the ground in his hand. Say, I don't see any superiority of this ground on that ground. Means both of you human beings created from earth. This earth and that earth has no difference. So you see, that attitude of Imam Ali, of course, brings justice in the government. But then the people who their mind is materialistic and selfish, they will not agree with that. His brother Aqil comes to him, and the question or request of his brother was not out of, let us say, justice or rationality. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam described what Aqil said. He told him that, see my children, how they are poor, they are needy, they have nothing. So, and I have loans, 100,000 dirham, Aqil had a loan. And he came asking that you help me, you are my brother and you are the caliph and these are your nephews and they are in such miserable life, so you have to help me and help them. Imam alayhi salam said, okay, wait for me till my salary comes from Baytul Mal and I will give you all my salary. He said, how much is your salary? He said, few dirham, maybe 4 dirhams or whatever. Like any other Muslim, that is the common salary of the caliph and the whole army, all is the same. He said, oh, how that will solve my problem? He said, well, this is all, what can I do? He said, but sir, I need the money. Insisted on Imam Ali that you have to give me money. I won't leave. One day Imam Ali was sitting and there was goods for the business people in who brought their goods from the market. They kept it outside their shops. There was no storage at that time, but because there was safety, no thief. So they keep it just outside the shops. The shops are closed, but the goods are outside. Imam Ali told Aqil, why, if you need money, why don't you go and steal these goods and solve your problem? Then Aqil said, you want me to be a thief? I said, Then Imam replied, then how you want me to be thief, to rob money of the Muslim Ummah and give it to you? If you realize taking money of others as theft, then how you expect me as a caliph to be thief and get money of the Muslim Ummah and give it to you? So it's in different ways Imam wanted to prove to Aqil that he should understand he cannot take money. If he takes the money, he is a thief. So he gave him that example, go and rob others. Naturally, Aqil will not do it. So how you expect me to be a thief? You say, okay, then, but you are asking me to be a thief. So, and ultimately, then Imam made an steel bar, he hot, and gave it to Aqil. Aqil was blind. When he touched it, he felt the effect of heat and his hand was burnt, and then he shouted that I ask you for money and you give me fire and burn my hand. Then Imam told him, oh Aqil, if you are suffering and running away from heat, which the human being made it to play with it, how you want me to face hellfire of God, which made by the Lord of heaven and earth by God, and will burn me with that. You cannot tolerate this small fire, and you want me to tolerate that fire. So see, in different ways, Imam was explaining to Aqil that that is impossible. There's no way that I give you that money. Then he asked permission to go to Muawiyah. Imam said, okay, if you like to go, go. He went to Muawiyah, and Muawiyah asked Muawiyah for money. Muawiyah ultimately gave him money just to buy his heart. He gave him money. 100,000 dirham was given to him. Of course, Muawiyah asked him that, go and curse Imam Ali on the pulpit. Aqil, of course, he will not do it. He cannot do it. But he made the curse very nice, which ultimately Muawiyah is cursed. So what he said on the pulpit, that, oh people, Muawiyah asked me to curse Imam Ali, then curse him. So the people, yes, he is cursed. Now curse him, he means curse Muawiyah, because he said, Muawiyah asked me to curse Imam Ali, then curse him. Him means curse Muawiyah. The people thought that curse Imam Ali, they said, yes, he is cursed. Or may Allah curse him. Muawiyah realized that. He asked him next day. He said, no, that was not right what you said, because you mean something else. Again, next day he changed the word. Again, the curse returned back to Muawiyah. Then Muawiyah found it is not possible. And he gave him that money. So you see, Muawiyah used to buy the people by money. And he will not care that money of the Ummah to be distributed. But Imam Ali cannot. Naturally, head of the tribes or even the people, they say, if we fight, what we will get? Nothing. It has to be fi sabilillah, and the people are not really that sincere to say, for the sake of Allah, we do it. That is for sake of Allah, and then some money has to be. That is why they were creating an excuse for that. So that was the situation, what I mean. And at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the people get tired. There was first the battle of Jamal, of the camel, and then Safin, and then Nahrawan, and tens of thousands of people were killed. And the people get tired of these wars, and ultimately they don't see any material gain, so they were hesitating to fight anymore. With this introduction, you know, we have to understand now the position of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Now, this army were the army of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. When Imam Ali alayhi salam were assassinated by Abdurrahman ibn Muljim, then Imam Hassan alayhi salam was the leader of the Muslim Ummah, and the people pledged an oath with him. And he prepared army to go and fight with Muawiyah. Because Muawiyah used to send army to kill the people around the Muslim areas were under Imam Ali alayhi salam in north of Iraq, let us say, from Sham to north of Iraq. Every time he used to send 100, 200, 500 people, they attack a village, kill people, rub the people just to put them in fear and then go back, you know. So continuous attacks were there on the areas around, well, in between, on the border between Iraq and Sham. Imam Hassan sent the first army. Muawiyah sent a message to the head of the army that, why do you fight? Now Imam Hassan is signing a peace treaty with me. And if I become the general caliph for all the Muslim Ummah, then you will lose. Get this 1 million dirham and leave the army. Then he said, well, maybe that is right, and why should I fight? 1 million dirham, let me take one. He took 1 million dirham and ran away. Next day the army is awake. There is no head for the army, so they were dispersed. Then, again, Imam Hassan alayhi salam sent the second one. One was his cousin, Ubaydullah ibn al-Abbas. And two sons of Ubaydullah were killed by one of the armies of Muawiyah. Bisr ibn Artat, who was from Muawiyah's side, in a place he caught two sons of Ubaydullah ibn al-Abbas and killed them. So in spite of that Ubaidullah should now take revenge. Again, Muawiyah send him the same message, that now we are signing a peace treaty with Imam Hassan, and why do you fight? You will lose. Get this money and leave the army. So he accepted the money and ran away toward Muawiyah. Next day the army see that their leader is with Muawiyah. So three times Imam Hassan sent the army, but they were unfortunately insincere. So it shows the situation of the people. Now the situation is one of two. Either Imam Hassan will fight with such people who are insincere, dishonest, bribed with Muawiyah, a lot of intelligence are there, many people were anti-Imam Ali, many Kharijis now are growing, many pro-Aisha and pro-Muawiyah and pro-Bani Umayyah still are there and so on. So naturally, he will lose the war and he will be killed. Or he may be captured and then released. In both the situation, he will not get neither physical victory nor moral victory. Now, what do we mean? Do we mean by physical and moral? That is very important. Physical, well, if his army have the ability, then it is his duty to fight. When there is no army and no preparation for that, so naturally there is no physical victory. Now, moral victory means at least the cause will get victory. The cause is a true Islam, genuine Islam, the values of Islam. They will remain even if he is killed. Okay, it worked, he said, let me be killed. But the values of Islam will be known and will be clear for the people. Again, with Muawiyah, that type of success was not possible. Why? Because Muawiyah, he has such a strong propaganda that he will cover the matter and will not allow any moral success for Imam Hassan in that. Because he will say always that, well, I gave him whatever he wants and I was ready, I respect him as son of the Prophet, I am religious, I love them, but he was unjust to me, so I had no option. And I did not kill him, I asked the army not to kill him, but the people, they went there, and we don't know who killed him, where he was killed, what happened, nobody knows. So in that strong propaganda, he could hide the matter, so there will be no effect for death of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. If he is martyred, there is no effect, no moral success. Or, it is known from history, if a war would have been there, then Muawiyah would not have killed Imam Hassan, would have captured him to make him as a captive. And then after capturing him, he will free him. So you are free, I will not kill you. So that means no one else from Ahlul Bayt throughout the history can make a revolution against injustice. Because the people will tell them, you see, you did, your grandfather did that, and you were captured, and they respected you and released you without killing you. Now you are their descendants. You want to fight and create corruption and bloodshed in the society. So you see, the propaganda of injustice and propaganda of the government will make the situation like that. From where we know this? We know this from the letter that Muawiyah left it for his son Yazid. He left in the letter an advice that in his will, that, O Yazid, لَقَدْ وَطَّأْتُ لَكَ رِقَابَ الْعَرَبِ, I have made the heads of the Arabs easy for you, means all are under control, except three, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Al-Hussein ibn Ali. About Abdullah ibn Umar, if you give him from your dunya, if you give him money, he will sell his religion to you. He will not care. So you give him little money, he will shake his hand with you, or what you say, pledge an oath with you. He do bay'at and finish. Abdullah ibn Zubair, no. He's like a fox. He will go around you. If you catch him, cut him into pieces. And if you catch Hussein ibn Ali, remember he is relative of the Prophet. فَعْرِفْ قَرَابَتَهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Do not kill him because he is a grandson of the Prophet. So you see, he knows that the Muslim Ummah still respect them, and if they kill, the effect in the Muslim Ummah to awaken the people will be great. It may threaten the throne of Bani Umayyah completely. So Muawiyah would not have done that way, but would have changed it in another way. Of course, he killed a lot of people later on. They were not like grandson of the Prophet. He killed Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, son of Abu Bakr, was killed. And then his body was put on the skin of a donkey and was burned. In such a bad way they did. Still, you see in the history, nobody mentions about it. He killed Malik al-Ashtar al-Nakhai. And he was a great man. And again, nobody cares for that. He killed Hajar ibn Adi al-Kindi, who was very religious, very great, very sincere, very pious, very honest man, well known in Kufa. And was he and all his companions with his son, all were killed and did not care. So Muawiyah killed a lot of people, will not care. But he knows about the position of Imam Hassan, and its effect for the future is very great. He will not do that. That is why Imam Hassan here, you see, he has no moral success. See, no way to succeed. And he was forced here to accept the peace treaty. In the peace treaty, it was actually a preliminary exposing Bani Umayyah, a preliminary thing for the revolution of Imam Hussein. Actually, prerequisite for revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, the people are fooled by propaganda of Muawiyah. To tell them Muawiyah is wrong, they will not agree, will not accept. They think he is right. So what to do now? You have to expose Muawiyah to them, or expose Bani Umayyah in general to them. To expose, you need time. You say, okay, take the government and let us see how you are dealing with it. Are you just or unjust? So that is the situation, and that's what forced Imam Hassan to accept the peace treaty with Muawiyah. Muawiyah used to send letter after letter that write whatever conditions you want and I will agree. The only thing you give me the government that I should be the ruler, not you. Now, Imam Hassan al-Salam sent three army. All the leaders were dishonest and there was no success. And he knows the people of Kufa are not fighters. He cannot trust them. He cannot depend on them. So that was the situation. So he put the conditions in the peace treaty in such a way that he knows Muawiyah will not fulfill any one of them. And he will be exposed that he break the covenant and he is not religious, he is not sincere, he is not honest. And when the people understand that naturally, they know he is not a caliph, he is just a ruler like other rulers, but not a religious man. That is why you see, even our Sunni brothers, they said, Khulafa al-Rashidin are only four. They do not include other khulafa with these four. Why? Because they know, they say that these four were different. Muawiyah, Yazid, Bani Umayyah are rulers, are kings, no more khalifa in that sense. They call them khalifa, but not in that sense. So that was because Imam Hassan exposed Muawiyah. Otherwise, why? Well, Muawiyah is like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. What is the difference? All Bani Umayyah are like it. The people accepted them and finished. That is the standard the people should accept, were accepted by people. So what is why Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman are called Rashidin by Sunnis and others are not Rashidin? Apparently there is no difference, except the difference there that the Muslim Ummah realized that the injustice done by Muawiyah and Yazid and the rest of Bani Umayyah. In the peace treaty, Imam Hassan alayhi salam puts many conditions. First of all, no one of the Shias should be killed. Shias of Imam Ali. And that Muawiyah did not fulfill. He killed thousands of the Shias in Iraq. And he said the salary of the orphans of Siffin and Jamal and Nahrawan should be given equal money like the orphans of others, you know, should be looked after. But Muawiyah again did not look after that. He said Imam Ali alayhi salam should not be abused in public by people of Sham. Again, Muawiyah did not fulfill that covenant. And the other one, he said that after Muawiyah, Imam Hassan will be the ruler of the Muslim Ummah. And if Imam Hassan is dead, then Imam Hussein will be the ruler. And that also Muawiyah did not fulfill, because he appointed Yazid before he dies to be the ruler of the Muslim Ummah, and he did not fulfill that. So you see, Imam Hassan alayhi salam tied him with these rules and regulations in the peace treaty. And he knows that Muawiyah will not fulfill. And that is what happened in the history. The first time Muawiyah met the people of Iraq, he had a sermon delivered to them. That يا أهل العراق إني ما قاتلتكم لتصلوا ولا لتصوموا ولا لتحجوا ولا لتزكوا وإني أعلم أنكم تفعلون ذلك ولكني قاتلتكم لأتأمر عليكم وقد مكنني الله من ذلك ألا وأن كل شرط صالحت الحسن بن علي عليه تحت قدمي هاتين. O people of Iraq, I did not fight with you in order to offer for prayer or to fast or to go for Hajj pilgrimage or to pay religious alms. And I know you are doing that. But I fought with you in order to rule you. So the aim is not for sake of God, for sake of government. And every condition I signed it in the peace treaty with Hassan ibn Ali is under my feet. So from beginning he exposed himself that he will not respect the covenant. He will not respect the peace treaty. He will not respect his word. And his aim, not that the people will be religious and to fulfill their religious duties. His aim, that to be a ruler like any other tyrant rulers. And he got the power, so that is his aim. The power is his aim. And then he related, وَقَدْ مَكَّنَنِي اللَّهِ. Allah gave me that chance to be there. Well, it is not Allah, of course, gives the chance for good and bad people. They have their freedom, but not he has chosen that. The human being with his own will, he choose the right from the wrong or the wrong instead of the right. That is through his own will. It is not that Allah gave it to him as a favor. So he will not say that I got that. He wanted to say that Allah favored me with that. Well, Allah did not favor him, but Allah allows things to go in a natural way through the law of cause and phenomena. So that is the preparation of the ground for revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now the people has to know Muawiyah and to know Bani Umayyah and to know Yazid and to know that they do not respect any covenant. They do not spare any Muslim. They kill innocent people. They rob the money of the Muslim Ummah without giving it to the poor and needy people. And they run the government with injustice. And then the people, if they get aware, gradually they may come back to a religion more and more. And with that, you know, after death of Muawiyah, then here when Yazid came, Yazid did not have that credibility that Muawiyah had. He was not showing himself to be religious. He was even openly corrupt person. He was womanizing, and sometimes with even his relatives, he do the mistakes, you know. he don't care. It is mentioned even with his aunts and sisters and related women, he used to have bad relation. So corrupt in that way. So how the people accept him as a caliph of the Muslim Ummah, such a person. And he was killing the innocent people and will not respecting any human being. So here Imam Hussein alayhi salam had the opportunity to get at least moral success. He knows physical success is not possible in Karbala. But moral success, of course, is possible. And that is why revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam remained throughout the history. And we see after that, the Islamic laws, the religious laws, the people started taking them from ulama rather than from the caliphs. You see, that is a very, very important point. At time of the first four caliphs, the people, whatever the caliph said, they used to follow him even if it contradicts the Prophet. When Abu Bakr says something contradict the Prophet, they follow Abu Bakr. He says he is caliph. When Umar says something contradict what the Prophet said, they do not follow the Prophet, they follow Umar. When Uthman do something contradict what the Prophet has said, they follow Uthman. So you see, it was in their mind that whatever the caliph said, that is a law. Even till today, the people say that one of the great things Umar did, that he divided the Muslim Ummah into 14 classes. The first class are wives of the Prophet. They used to get 14,000 dirham. The second class are Muhajirin, who migrated to Medina, and they get 12,000 dirham. And the third class are Ansar and other Muhajirin, and then 14 classes till those who become Muslim later on in wars. Well, this contradicts a basic thing of Islam, that the Muslims are equal. There is no difference among them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annasu sawasil ka asnanil mishd, the mankind, the people are equal like the heads of the kumb. It is the equality in Islam. But Umar removed that equality and he was giving more money to some people and less to others, which contradict the basic principles of Islam. Still the people will not argue with that. He said, no, since Umar said it, it is right. They do not say this is not right. It contradicts what the Prophet has said. And a lot of examples, you know, in book and Nas wal Ijtihad, you see in, he mentioned just as a small figure, 100 places where the first three caliphs contradicted the judiciary of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and contradicted the principles of Islam, but the people still accepted from them. So you see, it will be very risky to take Islam from the caliphs, because then no name of Islam will remain. Gradually, deviation will be so much that nothing of Islam will remain. Now that idea was in mind of the Muslims, and when it reached to Muawiyah, still whatever Muawiyah do, they said that is okay, he's a caliph. Then now Yazid comes, and then after him Marwan and so on. Then if that would have continued, then nothing of Islam would have remained. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam exposed Bani Umayyah that they are not a caliph, not sincere, not honest, they are just rulers. And you take Islam from the ulama, from the scholars, from the muhaddithin. So that is why I say Islam, all Islam, Shia and Sunni, all Islam was saved by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Well, saved first by Imam Hassan through exposing Muawiyah, and that was a prerequisite for revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that he exposed Yazid and rest of Bani Umayyah. And then the people started taking the religious duties and orders and fiqh and ahkam from the ulama. That is why they say we are following, let us say, Maliki or Malik or Ahmad bin Hanbal or Shafi'i or Abu Hanifa for Hanafis and so on. They do not say we follow Marwan or Yazid or Harun al-Rashid or Mansur al-Dawani. They don't say we follow. We follow the ulama. So you see that how Islam was saved, you know. So you see Imam Hassan alayhi salam, that was his great role, is to tolerate the injustice done to him, tolerate to hear abuses of Imam Ali alayhi salam on the pulpit, tolerate the thousands of sincere Shias were killed by Muawiyah and rulers appointed by Muawiyah. But the aim is to save Islam, to save the right things, to save the justice which was distorted by Muawiyah and Bani Umayyah. So that is about it. Of course, Muawiyah here had a lot of rumors, you know, attacking Imam Hassan alayhi salam and his position. One of the things that he used to say that this is Amul Jama'a. Even till today in the history, you say that day where peace treaty was between Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Muawiyah, he say it is the year where the Muslims united, Jama'a, become one group. United under whom? United under justice or united under injustice? United in the right way or in the wrong way? Yes, we say that the wrongdoers were successful. Okay, throughout the history, the wrongdoers were successful and the prophets used to be killed or put in jail or tortured and so on. That's what the Holy Quran mentions about the prophets and the stories of their lives. So that propaganda to say now the Muslims are united and everything is all right and there is no problem. What no problem? When the sincere people are killed, when the money of the Ummah is robbed, when the innocent, saints and weak people are under pressure from the economic life, even security and a lot of injustice done to them. So what good was that? Naturally, that is not good. Of course, the other abuses, and probably not by Bani Umayyah, that's by Bani al-Abbas, they say Imam Hassan was always his mind to marry. He married 300 women, some said 80 women, well, marry and divorce, marry and divorce, that was his job. That is all false accusation and is untrue. Otherwise, the history would have mentioned names of his wives, because he is grandson of the Prophet, and naturally every tribe, if they have grandson of the Prophet as their son-in-law, would have been very proud of it. And also, he would have hundreds of children, at least from these 300 women, while his children are very few mentioned, and it was mainly Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan and Al-Hasan al-Muthanna. Al-Qasim was martyred in Karbala, and Al-Hasan al-Muthanna was injured. They thought he is dead. When the battle finished, they came at time to cut the head. They found he is still alive, and his wife, they took him and treated him. Then he was cured, and now all descendants of Imam Hassan, the Hassani Sayyids, are descendants of Hassan al-Muthanna, who was saved in Karbala. If he would have been killed in Karbala, then there would have been no descendant of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So, you see, then where are the children of 300 women if Imam Hassan was marrying 300 women and every day divorcing one and marrying another one? All these are literally propaganda and accusations which are not true. So that is in short about life history of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and especially to concentrate on importance of his peace treaty with Muawiyah to save Islam by exposing Bani Umayyah and preparing the ground for the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.